For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Atomic Radio Half Hour. This is the show that dives into the wreckage that is post-apocalyptia. My name is Declan, and I'm also here with...
your doomsday prepping host, Vince. We are the Post-Nuclear Podcast.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm alright, how are you?
I'm doing just dandy. I just had some chicken, some barbecue chicken.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was quite good. I got it right out of a bag and slapped it in the oven.
Good.
So we're here today to talk about a very interesting topic, and it's something that I've wanted to do for a while on the show.
Declan, have a little showmanship. Set the stage a little bit.
So I'm going to set the stage a little bit. You're in your bed. It's a cool summer night.
What day?
I'll say June 21st.
Okay. I was asking more of like a Monday or a Tuesday or...
Let's say it's Friday. No. Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday, June 22nd.
21st. Oh, June 22nd. Okay.
Yes.
So it's like the second day of summer.
Yes.
Okay.
You're in your bed. You wake up... in the middle of the night.
What time?
Say 2:30 a.m.
Okay.
And you go downstairs to get a glass of water. You're just absolutely parched. And you sit down right on your couch and flip on the TV because you're not going back to bed at this point. And you just...
You're kind of losing me?
Yeah, I'm losing you?
Yeah, you assume I have cable?
All right, I'm sorry about that. Then you go on Twitter.
Okay.
And you just kind of start watching some memes, start watching some videos, and then you hear your phone make this sound. The like, burr, burr, burr. And we're going to put that in post.
Okay.
And it's the emergency alert system, and it says, important instructions. It says, warning. Nuclear blast incoming. Find shelter and stay away from metropolitan areas. So, you're sitting there, presumably in your underwear, glass of water in one hand. So what do you do?
I don't know. It's a tough question. I also think I kind of prepared for this question wrong.
For real?
Yeah.
Portland, Oregon.
I'm just going to say this now, a little behind the curtain for you guys. A lot of these half hours we record ahead of time because it's easier in case of an emergency or something that we just need to put something out and we don't have the time. So this one is being recorded in the future, so Declan and I had, or I'm sorry, in the past, for the future. So Declan and I come up with some prompts and stuff, ideas, and sometimes we'll do the movie reviews or whatever. Seek shelter in the interior. So this one, I interpreted this as, like, the bombs go off and it's a fallout situation. Like, what do you do and where do you take your, like, whatever you're going to do with civilization going forward?
Okay, so, like, putting ourselves in the Bethesda universe.
Based in reality, but within their universe, if that makes any sort of sense.
Okay.
Sorry if that's not the way it was intended. That's the way I took it.
No, like we can talk about it all night. Like
I have notes written. I had nothing to do at work for a few minutes, so I wrote down some notes on a napkin because I didn't really have a lot of time to take notes. But what were you going to say? Sorry, I didn't mean to like throw everything off. I just misunderstood the prompt.
No. So I was considering it happening like current year. Like, what would I do, like, immediately, like, nukes are dropping right now as we're recording?
Well, if it was like that, and it was more of like a it's happening right now, but within the Fallout universe, I kind of can, like, warp all my shit back to what I thought it was.
Hey, just go with the flow, dude. Whatever you want.
You go first, because I want to get a feel for what you're going to say.
So, what bombs I would fall. Do first, bombs fall. What I would do first is probably get as much of my camping shit that I have, like, put aside. Mm-hmm. And just, like, immediately make a pack and get as much water as possible.
Yeah.
See, I would definitely do that. And where I'm at now is kind of in a city, so it's a bad spot. But if I were home, I would just kind of, like, go out into the mountains as far away from, like, city as possible.
I see.
Just, like, set up shop in any old hidey hole.
Okay, when we were talking about this prompt, I thought it was, like, what do you do, like, to find safety?
Well, what do you do to find safety?
Because I have a bunch of different places here that I would have tried to find safety and then turned it into something.
Okay, let's riff on that.
Okay, I'm just going to read these off to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then we can just go into the ones that we like.
Yeah.
A bank vault.
Okay.
Old folks' home. Some caves. The sewer and or subway system. Some kind of souped up armored bus.
Where are we dropping, boys?
Declan.
What?
Why do you hurt me?
I live to destroy you.
The DMV?
That sounds like absolute hell.
Church? Like a church. The Alamo.
The Alamo?
Trump's wall. A bridge. Swampland that dried up from the heat. A train. And a movie theater that could be like a high security thing. So some of these I have like ideas of how they would have been interpreted and where they would have gone.
Okay.
Like,
so, all right. I know how we can pull this together.
Okay.
Let's say you survive the first 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and you need to choose to establish yourself somewhere. You have enough supplies to kind of settle down and create a little camp. Say you got a group of people with you that are under your protection and they protect you.
Yeah.
And where do you think would be a good spot to settle down?
Well, I have those written out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those ones that I just... There's like four of them that I really want to talk about that I really think that are good ideas.
Okay.
The first one is a bank vault.
So there were people that tried that in Fallout 4.
They were trying to rob the bank.
You're right.
Now hear me out. This is saying that I survived the explosion and people being evaporated, right?
Right.
Money means nothing. The only sort of value that anything has now that the bombs have gone off is water, ammo, sex, and cigarettes.
What about, knowledge?
Okay, we're gonna get there.
Okay.
So, I had this whole situation where it was money means nothing. The vault door can open from the inside, right?
Yes.
It's a small community of 4 to 5 families that live like a regular pre-war family. So it's a rather large vault. There's kind of like things that are sectioned off. That's like, this is the Smith family. That's the Brown family. That's the Rodriguez's, right?
Right.
So they live together, act like nothing happened, but they leave the vault ever. The men of the house, because it's the 50s, I was thinking, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's the 50s, right?
Right.
So the men leave for the day, and the wives stay home and teach the kids, and they clean up the little bank vault. But when the men go out, they, like, destroy. They shoot things up, they pillage, they take what they need, and they go back from, like, 8 to 5. Like 9 to 5, like a 9 to 5 job every day. But they come home and don't act like anything has changed.
Ooh.
Like, oh, I just went to work, right?
It's they like, honey, like, I'm home.
Yeah, and then it's just like, what'd you do today? Oh, you know, busy day at the office, and that's it.
He comes home just covered in fucking blood.
No, no, not even that. Like, he takes care of it so the kids don't ever have to be scarred by it. So then as the kids get older...
That's super interesting.
So as the kids get older, they're just, like you hit 18, you're just thrown into it.
See, I don't like that.
No, you don't have to like it. That's fucked upness of the wasteland.
That's fair.
So as there's four or five families in there, right? As the years keep going and they don't stop coming, it gets to a point where it's just these massive incested families. Right?
Right, right.
You got the kids breeding with the other kids and then the dads breeding with other kids and like it's mixing together.
Yuck.
So you're getting larger numbers, but as they're breeding with each other, they're getting dumber and they all have webbed toes and shit and a third eye and they can barely speak and they all have slack jaws. But the only sort of culture they have is this bank. And like, why would you go to a bank? There's not weapons in there. There's just safety.
Yeah.
So they slowly start building themselves up around like Mad Men type businessy banker people, like reminiscent of like Wolf of Wall Street if it was in like the 50s and the 40s. And they become these charismatic, stupid, like just always talking, getting people out of deals, and slowly they forget about like the old world and they forget about the new world, and there's like a blending of the two in a sense. And they're trying to, like, strike deals and shit. I always come back to a charismatic character, but...
Always.
This is one of the ideas I had of a civilization that continuously is growing and growing and growing.
I like that.
Do you have any type of ideas for anything else?
For your scenario?
Of just a scenario, just anything you can think of. A scenario?
Like, I know how I would want to create a camp.
Okay.
I would want to establish in a cave, like, not necessarily, like, a sprawling cave.
Okay, just we're like, going to talk about caves in a minute.
All right. Can I still do my thing?
Yeah.
So, it's going to start with a cave. Easy to defend. It's shelter from the elements. But over time, I would want to either find, like, I want to find some vehicles and go to the nearest, like, port or, like, shipping place and find a way to get, like, shipping containers and bring them back and turn them into homes that surround the cave.
Okay, so you want to block it off.
So, yeah, I would, like, use the shipping containers to block off, like, a section, like, a radius around the cave, and then also use them as, like, homes and storage and stuff like that.
I see.
So that way, like...
How are you going to get them there?
I was hoping by some kind of heavy-duty vehicle.
Okay.
So that's, like, the major, like, linchpin, is having a vehicle to be able to do that.
My number one idea while going into a lot of this was, I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't want you to think that I'm telling you you're wrong when I say this. I was going into it thinking, what do I have to do the least amount of setup for?
Yeah, because my plan is ultimately a big setup.
Yeah, and it's just, like...
It's the creation of a new, like, settlement.
And the only thing that I kind of think of with like, oh, the bomb, like, with moving cars and stuff, is we don't know if there's an EMP blast when the bombs go off.
True.
So it could render all the vehicles useless.
I didn't think about that.
I think about the apocalypse a lot.
I know.
Anything else?
That was, like, my main, like, scenario, and I would kind of, like, run the society kind of, like, hunter-gatherer-y.
Yeah.
And, like, do shifts of people going out hunting for food, bringing it back, purifying it to the best of our ability, and just kind of really going back to humanity's roots.
Can we go back to knowledge a little bit?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about knowledge and what place that has in the apocalypse.
So, remember when I said an old folks' home?
Yeah, that was a super interesting one. I would have never thought of that.
One of the best episodes of The Walking Dead is from season one. It's like episode 4, 5, or 6. There's like these vatos, like these gang members, like these Mexican gang members.
Yeah.
And they're all hard, and they're like, you're not getting in, Rick Grimes. And he's like, come on, we need supplies. And they're like, no, go away. And then by the end of the episode, it turns out that what they're guarding, what the supplies is all of their grandmothers. It was an old folks home that they brought all their grandmothers there, and they were protecting them from the zombies. The old folks had no clue that the zombies were even a thing. But I thought, the bombs go off, that's harder to hide than zombies, but how you said knowledge, the one thing old folks have...
It's knowledge.
It's knowledge of the old world. They have an entire generation of knowledge, so it's a symbiotic relationship. I take care of the old folks.
Yeah.
They then give me knowledge. Here's fucking old man Ricky, who served in two wars and knows how to survive and was an Eagle Scout, and... Here's Greta, who has this amazing recipe on how to stretch food, because her mom was a child of the Great Depression. Yes.
Yeah.
So you have all this knowledge and you have all this, and all I have to do is take care of the old folks, and the old folks will take care of me.
And hopefully pass down as much knowledge as possible until they meet their expiration date.
Yes, and the best part about that is, if you continue, and I'm not saying I'm going to be breeding with the old people, but if you continue to bring more people in... Like, say it's another... Let's say it's a minimum of 5 families that go and take over the old home.
Right.
You then can have my... Like, me, as a generation, become old, and then the other people take... The younger people take care of us. And then we say, this is how we were taught. Like, keep books, keep notes, keep everything written of how things are. Like, that scene in the Book of Eli when they're writing. Like, the keeping of knowledge is so important. So keep that and say, like, oh, this book here has this. Kind of like the Brotherhood, but not shitty.
Non-shitty Brotherhood.
You know what I mean? Like, not like if you're in the way of technology, you die, but like, here's this knowledge, we're willing to pass it on as long as you're willing to play by the rules.
I kind of read a short story about that one time, and it was really, really, really interesting. It was an apocalypse scenario. It was It was from the point of view of a young caravan guard, and they were transporting loads of books from one library to another.
Mm.
And, like, libraries were, like, the post-apocalypse society's, like, neutral ground. Like, if you go into a library, there's no killing, there's no maiming.
Oh,
you
wow.
You go in there, everyone is safe, everyone has the right to the knowledge. And we will get books from other libraries. We will provide that service if you follow the rules.
Huh.
It was super cool. I don't know. Yeah. It was on Wattpad, I think. But it was a while ago. Where, like, libraries were, like, the pinnacle of the society.
That's really neat.
Yeah, isn't it? I've always wanted to run a D&D campaign like that.
I really like that. I really think that, like, knowledge is going to be the under... Like, it's... anybody could learn how to shoot a gun, but not everybody knows how to purify water.
Yeah, like, knowledge is power.
Yeah. I like the idea of a cave. The only problem is if something goes off and you have to shoot in that cave, it's going to deafen you.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, too.
That's the only problem. And, like, if you have laser weaponry and they work the way lasers should work and they shouldn't make a sound, then you're fine. But that means the ammo for that is going to be increasingly more rare than just normal ballistic ammo.
Yeah. It's easy to overlook is ammo.
Yeah.
Because in video games, ammo seemingly just prints itself.
You just, but yeah, in, I know it spawns here.
It is finite.
Yeah.
It is incredibly finite.
Places
like America have a bit of a better chance at that because it's so widespread.
Yo, when you turn 3, you get your first pistol.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's America. And when you're in Texas, when you turn 3, you get a pistol. When you turn 5, you get a shotgun.
Yeah, and I mean, your birth present is a sword. You can open carry swords in Texas.
There actually is a country that, like, that's, like, the thing. I want to say it's, like, the Swiss. They're not the Swiss. Something Nordic. I want to say, like, it was customary to get a sword when you were born.
That's kind of cool.
But it was, like, one of those, like, this is your family crest or sword.
Like an heirloom, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a tool.
So when I was going through all these different ideas for places, I was trying to stay away from anything that Fallout had already done. The sewer and the subway system, we really haven't seen a sewer that I could really think of other than, like, the sewers at Necropolis.
Yeah.
But the subway system was pretty much all of 3. The souped-up bus, it's a neat idea because you could soup it up and maybe turn it into like a food truck.
Did you say a food truck?
Yeah, but like the thing is, I don't know if there's that EMP blast.
Yeah, we have to consider that technology's wiped out.
Yeah, for the most part, which
over city centers at least.
Yeah. So I thought it was a neat idea, but I don't know if it would run. That's the whole thing. The DMV, you're fucking safe. The DMV will be so untouched because nobody wants to go there now.
Yeah, nobody's, the DMV.
Nobody's going to want to go there during the apocalypse. No one's even going to think to go, what's in the DMV? Just go there and hang out. You could put a sign that says, I'm in here, and people be like, I'd rather wipe my ass with sandpaper.
Like, DMV is just straight up hell.
Yeah.
Like, that's one place that I wouldn't want to die, like, in real life. I would hate to die and have to haunt a DMV. It's already hell enough.
Go home. They called your number 2 hours ago. Yeah.
You forgot your secondary photo identification.
Yeah, how do you... Oh. A church, that's done to death, but I thought...
Yeah, that's done. It's so symbolic.
Yeah.
In media.
The Alamo...
Tell me about the Alamo.
I know next nothing about the Alamo other than I'm not supposed to forget it.
Yeah, we gotta remember that shit.
But other than that, I'm pretty sure it was like a base and it had pretty high walls and Davy Crockett.
David Crockett.
That's all I know about the Alamo. I just thought that it would be pretty, I guess, easy to defend from because you could have patrols. This is also, you'd also have to have like 10 groups of people ready to go.
Yeah.
I
think a really interesting place would be a wind turbine.
Go on.
Like, when you see like a wind turbine, like over, like on the horizon,
yeah,
it just looks like, oh, hey, look, a windmill. But those things are fucking massive. Like, have you ever seen, like, a small part of it being transferred down the highway?
Yeah, it's massive. You're right.
Honestly, you and, like, a small amount of people could live inside a turbine that is generating power. You will have power. You will presumably have warmth from, like, heat generation. You'll have a way to probably process water because, again, you have power. I think a wind turbine's a really good bet. That being said, it is a big, like, exclamation point on the horizon. Like, hey, yeah. Look, a spinning turbine. That means there's power there.
And aren't they super loud?
They're super loud.
It's not a bet. I never thought of it because I just don't see them ever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a really good idea.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, like, the dams are done, but turbines, they're new.
Dams. Yeah. Huh. What else do I have here? The Alamo. Trump's wall?
I'm good.
I was trying to think of things at work, and my first thought was the Great Wall of China. And then I thought America. And I thought we can keep the ghouls out. We can keep the ghouls out and have them pay for it.
Of course.
A bridge. Now, hear me out.
I like the idea of living on a bridge.
I do and I don't. Bridges are made to last, right?
Yeah. They're made to last 50 to 100 years.
Yes, but you know how much maintenance they require?
A shit ton.
Did you know that the Golden Gate Bridge, I could be wrong when I say this, I think it takes 2 weeks to paint, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they start on Monday. 2 weeks later, they're done. By time they're done, they have to paint it again.
So they just, like, are constantly revolving by and painting that
goddamn
bridge.
It is in a constant paint cycle, yes.
Hmm. That's actually really interesting.
Now, I could be wrong. It could be a month. It could be a different, like, amount of time. It could be shorter.
But by the time they finish, they gotta do it again.
Yeah, what I'm getting at is the fucking turnaround is constant. But I think if you lived on a bridge and you controlled a bridge, you then control trade route.
Yeah. Being able to be the bottleneck for a trade route could be lucrative if you've got the business savvy and the defenses to actually hold it.
Exactly. You make it where it's the safest route to travel.
And you got to make the price of passage reasonable enough for people to pay.
You got to make it reasonable, but just a little bit more.
Yeah.
So
you
it's
don't
like,
want to be too generous. Like, you want to make sure that you're making ends meet.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, if it's somewhere... Like, we talk about New York in the Fallout games a lot, and it's pretty much destroyed. But right. that's what I think, like, Manhattan is destroyed. I think the city is destroyed. The Bronx, Brooklyn,
the boroughs,
Queens,
presumably
Staten.
Not looking so hot, but not vaporized.
Yes. And on top of that, the subway system has to be somewhat intact.
Oh, isn't that the whole plot of, like, the Metro series?
I think so. I never played Metro.
I've never played Metro. Someone said it's, like, the newest Metro is really good.
But also, that's in Russia.
Yeah.
So, Russia is more spread out than all of New York.
Have you considered different places you would want to spend the apocalypse that isn't in the U.S.?
No, to be completely honest, because I don't really have any bearing on anything outside of the U.S. Like, I don't have any idea of it. And, like, I think even if you spent, like, a week or a short amount of time in Europe or any other country outside the U.S., you don't really have an understanding of that country because unless you went backpacking for 6 months, you really don't know that much of it. You know a small portion of the... Like, yeah. if the apocalypse happens much like it does in the Fallout games and you could go to Japan, like, give that country a month and they'll be up and running again.
You really think so?
Oh my god, they're the most efficient country on the planet.
I mean, I know they're pretty damn good.
Dude, everything's wheelchair accessible. There's fucking protocol for everything. Yeah. Dude, give Japan like 10 years. Dude, they're fucking... dealing with the nuclear reactor that melted down. Remember that?
Yeah.
And, apparently it's, like, finished. Like, it's not finished because you can't really finish that.
But there's a lot of headway on it.
But, like, yeah. Give them... Dude, we fucking nuked them and they're fine.
We did it twice!
We did it twice and they're a thriving economy. They're one of the most visited places in the world. People flock to go to Japan.
It's a global culture, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, the bombs drop, give Japan fucking...
They'll make anime, too.
More fucking squids. No, I think they would be one of the ones that'd be fine, but I don't think, because also I'm born in America, I was raised in America, and I live in America, my best understanding of American culture, my best understanding of any culture is American, so I think to say, oh, this is how, that's why I think if they ever do a game outside of the U.S., it won't do that well, because the people that are making it are in the U.S. If I wanted to tell a story about a British kid, I've never lived in England. I've never been in England. I can barely spell it. So for me to make that story, it feels less genuine, feels less authentic, because I have no clue what I'm talking about.
And that's the kicker.
Like, how is that just the kicker? What do you mean by that?
Like, it's so easy for us to get kind of like all wrapped up in our own shit. Mm-hmm. That we don't really realize how other places work. And,
yeah.
Like, how different cultures react to things. Like, the time that I studied abroad was really eye-opening. Because, like, seeing how other cultures dealt with things that I've dealt with, it's just, like, entirely different. Like, the manners are different. The things that are acceptable are different. And, like, it's something that, like, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, well, of course. But it's different when you experience it.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I appreciate from other cultures a lot that we don't have here in America, like the Jewish people. We have a lot of them here in America, but what they do is when somebody dies, they sit in a room for a week, no television, no mirrors, no nothing, and they get over it, and then they move on with their lives. It's sad, they think about it every once in a while, but it's over. Here in America, people will sit there and talk about their dead friends and relatives until the day they die, because they never give themselves the proper... grieving period. It's not wrong to miss your friends, family, and loved ones, but you also have to realize that they're not here and you are, and they don't want you to be upset. They want you to move on.
Yeah, you've got shit to do.
Yeah, like, and it's one of those things that always bothers me when I see people who are continuously upset. Like, all right, I get it. It's sad, but you have to learn to get over it.
Yeah.
But even like like traditional black funerals. They don't mourn the death; they celebrate the life. I don't like white people, is what I'm getting at.
Like, yeah, basically, that's what we're getting at. White people are fucking the worst.
White people don't know how to mourn. But like other
they also
countries,
don't know how to spice their food.
Other countries you go to and you see these people that are celebrating lives, and you see that they are understanding that just to know somebody is special. So I feel like the apocalypse in the U.S. would be treated very differently from everywhere else in the world.
I'd love to see a global perspective on it, though. Like, done right.
Like, yeah, but you'll
Bethesda
never have it done
studios
right.
Studios in Europe, like Arkane. I would like to see Arkane's take.
Why?
On... Just because I think it'd be interesting.
Okay, so you get
to see,
so where are they based out of?
France, I believe.
So you get a company based out of France that their mission is to authentically portray France, right?
In an apocalypse scenario.
Okay, but they don't have the same drive or passion that the original group of writers and developers had from the Bethesda Game Studios and now the Bethesda Software game. And with the state that the games are in right now, you could say straight up, is that passion and drive still there? Totally understand that. I can totally see where you're coming from. But at the same time, that group in France, they might say, hey, make a Fallout game. Well, what the fuck do you want me to do? We've been making Dishonored.
I acknowledge that. I just think it'd be an interesting idea.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, like, you have to... I'm not saying you, but I'm saying
there's
you
different,
have to think about...
There's different cultural baselines. Like, mm-hmm. like there's a... Fallout is built on the foundation of American decadence.
Yeah, it's built on a lot of ignorance.
Yeah. So, I think it'd be extremely interesting to see it from a different lens, but I'm not sure what the foundation is. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we go into Fallout knowing that it's going to be some fuck shit because Americans are assholes.
Yeah. I have a few more things on my list I'd like to kind of bang through real quick. There's one that I really want to talk about, and two that I kind of want to just get in and out of.
Yeah, shoot.
Swampland that dried up from the heat. Now, this one could go one of two ways. When a nuke hits, there's a large chance of nuclear winter. Which I never understood what that was, but it just means that the fallout in the sky makes giant clouds and blocks out the sun, meaning all the crops die. I don't necessarily think it means that the whole world goes cold. I think it's more that the sun does not get through the clouds. That would make the temperature drop, but because there's no way for the sun to get through, everything dies, and if the plants die, the animals die. Right? And to mention that there's...
It's kind of just a domino effect of bad shit.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that there's radiation that is floating around in open air, because when radiation gets out, it doesn't just kill you, it kills generations. But, let's just say there is no nuclear winter, and it gets really, really hot because of the heat of the blast. A swamp that dries up, I just thought was a neat idea. You can take Bayou culture and mix it with, like, I don't want to say Australian culture, but, like, Bayou culture and mix it with, like...
Australia is already a wasteland.
I was going to say, Australia, no offense to the Aussies out there, is kind of like the Bayou, but in the desert.
Yeah. Australia is the closest thing we have to Fallout in the real world. There's giant bugs. Like,
yeah.
There's violent mammals that punch you.
You have to install a second gas tank on your car just to go to work.
Yeah, like, like Australia is the apocalypse.
So,
but in a good way.
When I wrote that down, and I told somebody about that idea, they go, oh, Holes. And I go, I've never seen Holes.
Oh,
so
Holes.
I've never seen it.
Holes? Oh, that movie's a fucking classic. I love that movie.
I never saw it.
You have to carry Madame Zeroni up the mountain to break her curse.
Yeah. Speaking of movies, though, a movie theater. Hear me out.
It seems kind of done.
Wait, hold on. I was thinking of a movie theater like the one we have at home.
Okay.
It's small. There's maybe eight screens, right? Hear me out. When you come in, it's nothing but guards. And they give you a ticket, and if you have the ticket, you can go in and out as you please. that's the I'm cool badge, right? And there's different versions of tickets. Like, if you want the IMAX ticket or, like, something big, like, the, no, if you want the 3D ticket, that means you can come and go as you please. If you get a regular standard ticket, it means you're just a basic trader or someone who needs wares. You have to pay to get in, and then, like, each room has, like, this is the sex room where we sell prostitution. This is the chem room where we sell drugs.
It's a place of, it's a marketplace.
It's a market, but it's a high-end market. And it's somewhere where you can come and have a little bit more of sophistication.
I really like this idea.
I didn't really flesh this one out all that much. It was just kind of an idea where, like, there's eight different rooms, eight different screens. And, like, one of them is where people live. And one of them is where, and like the one where people live is like the one with the balconies and the balconies and they play movies. Like they have old reels sitting around and shit and they'll play movies every once in a while. And then you have one that's like a hangout, like a bar and it's all fortified and like movie theaters are big places with hallways and shit that go in and out. And I'm not saying like a chain, like an AMC, like a privately owned movie theater, right?
Right.
I don't know. It was just something like
that,
this is
that's
one that
so cool.
You like that one?
Yeah, I really like that one
because I like the idea of it, but I didn't like it enough to flesh it out. Because the one that I thought was a fucking killer is a train.
Trains are fucking dope.
Hear me out. The faction's called the Choo Choos.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
they're constantly moving, so they're picking up other cultures with them. And they're learning about other people and they're trading knowledge and they're trading goods from other places. So say they go up to the Northeast and grab Vim and bring it over to the Mojave and they trade over Sunset Sarsaparilla and they trade that for Vim. So you get, and like there's a video, I believe it's by Shoddy Cast, about why are caps being used on the East Coast? And it's because of Jet and how drug trade, and how he's like, Horrigan in the video is like, oh, but Fallout 3 only takes place 2 years after, or 40 years after Fallout 2. So why are caps on the East Coast already? And he pretty much equates it to the Silk Road and how the Silk Road was used to transport silk, but drugs like opium and shit came along with it.
Oh, yeah.
You then move culture around faster and you're a tank. You're a literal tank. You don't have to stop if you don't want, and there's not really going to be any sort of way to stop a train, and as long as they have coal, they're fine. As long as they have something to make smoke, to make a fire, yeah, to keep the engine going, so
make
you don't have to
hot.
you don't have to be hit by, what do you call it, like an EMP. That's an analog machine.
Yeah. Jeez, that'd be so cool. Can I offer one revision?
Sure.
I would like the faction to be called the Locos, like locomotive.
Okay, yeah. I have in my notes just choo-choo people. Just
choo-choo people. No, that sounds really cool. I would love that.
It would be just this massive way to trade. You don't have to worry about, oh, there's a herd of super mutants up ahead. Okay, good. I'm just going to go fucking 200 miles an hour through them.
All I'm, like, imagining is, like, the Bloody Mess animation, but,
yes,
like, ramming through a super mutant with
they
a
would
train.
Turn into a fine pink dust, my friend.
Into a fucking puddle.
Yeah.
I would like to ask a question.
Sure.
If you had to pick a place to be when the bombs dropped, like a city or a town, or, like, a biome.
Yeah.
What place would you choose?
I don't know. That's the thing. Because where
like
I
where
am when the bomb
boys.
Goes off... Yes. But where I am when the bomb goes off impacts all of my other decisions. Because
I
if I'm
like
in a city, I'm running to the subway. If I'm in the middle of nowhere, okay, I got some time. If I'm
like
in the
to,
water, I'm fine.
I feel
sorry
like
to
I would
cut
like
you
to
off.
Be like in the Rockies, like in like the middle America.
Yeah.
Or, like, even, like, up in, like, Upper Canada or, like, South Canada, even.
But watch out. That nuclear winter.
Yeah.
It's cold up there. If the sun gets blocked out, are you fucked?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like...
Like, I'm rolling the dice here.
You
maybe
teeter.
Montana?
I understand where you're coming from. I don't know if it's better to be in a more populated area or a less populated area.
Definitely less populated.
Yeah, but then you have less resources. If I'm in the city, if I'm in Manhattan and the bombs go off, I could run into literally any store that sells any type of food and grab as much as I can carry and try to find somewhere safe. If I'm in Montana, I have to drive 40 miles to the nearest mom and pop grocery store to get whatever is left by the people who already picked through it.
I mean, I'm also assuming that I'm going in with the, like, skills that I have. Like, I know how to hunt.
Okay.
So, like, I'm assuming, like, oh, I'm dropping here, and I know that I will have, like, my core, like, tools. Like, not necessarily supplies, but, like, oh, I, like, have, like, my backpack, and I have, like, enough to set up camp. And then I can kind of fend for myself in getting, like, consumables.
But I think to think like that is wrong.
It is wrong.
Because you're not always going to have your bug-out bag next to you.
Yeah.
You could be 400 miles from where your bug-out bag is. So I'm trying to think of worst-case scenario.
Like, you know what I mean? Like the day after kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. Like, it's going on now and I have to just find something. It's going to be when you least expect it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to be a beautiful Saturday morning in October.
I know one thing's for sure.
What's that?
Is that I would want to be near a mountain or somewhere that's high ground.
Okay.
And also, well, because where there's high ground, there is runoff.
Okay. I was thinking of vantage point. Okay.
There's also a vantage point you get to see. So those are, like, my one, like, one priority, or, like, two priority. Have a vantage point that's in the high, like, high ground, mm-hmm. and have a stream or water source. That's, like, priority number one.
I see. I don't disagree with you. I don't. It's just, you know what I think it is? Trying to think like that, think like this, I think is just such an abstract thought that we can,
like, you'll never know.
You'll never know, and we could sit here and ponder it over and over and over again, but, like, when shit hits the fan, are you still a fan? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Are you gonna run? And you, like, I could sit here and talk all this big shit and be like, I'm gonna have two fucking machine guns on each arm and three bitches around my legs and just mow through crowds. Or I can sit here and be honest and say, I'm going to be terrified and scared the whole time and probably cry as I'm like, please don't shoot me. I want to eat this can of beans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you want to be real, you want to be true, you want to be honest.
If we're being real, true, and honest, I would just run for the hills.
I'm having kind of a hard time trying to even think of what I would do. Because I feel like it
boils down to instinct.
Honestly, you want to say you'd run for the hills, the first thing you would do is try to get home. The first thing you would do is try to get to your parents.
Yeah, I'd probably make my way south.
And I think it's mostly because it's like, oh, huh, this sucks, but you know what doesn't suck? Nostalgia and comfort. And I understand that that's what home is. And these are people that took care of me and I love them. And your parents are thinking, huh, I just wasted fucking 20-something years on that kid. I hope he's not dead.
Do I know something really sappy?
What?
In an apocalypse scenario, I would immediately think, what would you do? And, like, me? I would want to know where you are because you've studied this for your entire life. I would want to know how you're faring.
Thanks. I don't know. I think... And, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not, like, an apocalypse nut. Like, I only wear my tinfoil hat on weekends. But, like, I'm not... I just think it's such a fucking... I don't want to say it's a stupid question because it's not, but it's such a big one.
Yeah, and it's so open-ended that you can't arrive at a conclusion.
Yeah. And it's, like, it's almost like when they announced that picture of the black hole. Like... The picture of the black hole, the analytics for the black hole of, like, how far it was and how big it is, was so massive that my tiny, stupid monkey brain couldn't process that number.
Yeah.
Like, I had no...
It's technically not even a picture. It's, like, yeah. A render of data, of, like, satellite data.
But, like, if you say to me, like, oh, that's, like, fucking, like, 1,000 feet long, and I just sit there and, hold on, a thousand yards long, I can just look at you and be like, what? But if you say it's 10 football fields, I have that reference.
Yeah. Like, we don't know what 13 sextillion meters is.
Yeah. But if you say, like, even if you said, like, but even if you said it's 14 million football fields long, I still can't think of what that would look like.
Yeah.
Because
or it's like 30 distances to the sun. I still, like, I get it, but I can't comprehend that.
Yeah. Like, if you tell me, like, hey, from Earth to the sun is fucking just the number, say 45 million miles, right? Does that sound anywhere close to being correct?
I don't know.
Look it up. Quick, quick, quick.
Distance to the sun is 92 million miles.
Meters? Holy shit, really?
No. That's miles.
Yeah, I said 45 million. Oh, wow. Yeah, so it's about a half.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
For everyone else in the world that's better than us, it is 150 billion meters.
150? That sounds so much bigger.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but look, it's that far away that if the sun ever just burned out, we'd have 8 minutes before we all froze to death. I understand freezing, and I understand 8 minutes, and I still have no way to process how far the sun is from the Earth.
Like, it's just fucking nuts, dude.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. But do you know what I don't understand you're saying?
What?
How great our intro music is.
Yeah, I love our intro music. Feather Duster by Shane Ivers that you can find on silvermansounds.com/featherduster.
/free music/featherduster.
/free music/featherduster.
Hell yeah.
You know what else I love?
Twitter.
Our Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Atomic Radio Hour for the show. You could also find us on Instagram there. And you can find myself at @the_Boogans in all capitals.
And me at @Declan_Bean.
Also, we have Twitch. It's there. We use it. I don't know when, but we do. Link in the description of that. And if you'd like to talk to us, you can find us on Discord. There's a link to that in the description below as well.
We love talking to our peoples. Another thing, if you want to give us money, we have a Patreon. You never have to. The show's always going to be free. But if you want to make it get even better, you can give us a little bit of your pocket change. We really appreciate it.
We have some people to thank.
We have the wonderful Michael Mello.
Thank you.
The illustrious Friendly Companion Cube.
Thank you.
Our main man, Noah.
Thank you.
And the man, the myth, the legend, TKS Mantis.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. I love you. If you listen to us on YouTube, thank you. Make sure you comment, rate, subscribe, leave a little comment. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, how we can improve. I crave feedback. If you're listening to us anywhere else, you can find us on most, if not all, podcasting apps. Stitcher, CastBox, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Radio Public. I thank you all. Leave us a review, a like, something, please. I want some more feedback to make the show better.
Please give us 5 stars on Uber.
Is that all we have to say?
That's all we have to say.
Cool. Thank you so much for listening to us ramble.
I love you.
About the end of the world. Okay.
See you later. Bye.
See you next time. Drive safe. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.